And I think that's what's been going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that, if you don't recognize, you and I both come from a Christian background, right? And mm-hmm. there's a understanding from a Christian standpoint that we come from a fallen. I mean, we're all fallen, right?
Right.
We're all, no one is, and I think that helps sometimes ground us in our understanding when we go back to that understanding. You know what? There's a lot of grace that needs to go around because we're all kind of messed up. We're all broken yeah. people to some degree. And yeah. so that helps keep, it's kind of a check, it's like kind of a mm-hmm. way to keep us in check that we have that. But I feel like, sometimes as people move up in their power scale or the levels in their, as they move up the chain, so to speak, sometimes they forget that, right? They forget, those things that kind of ground them because they feel like that, you can move above that. And power, I think power is, as the old saying, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely or something. What is, I forgot the old saying.
You nailed it.
Power has this, it's an intoxicating thing that makes you forget a lot of where you came from. So,
yeah, and it's all through our literature. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a new idea.
No.
But I keep coming back to, if you're a pretty decent person and you're just kind of doing your job, taking care of your family, building a business.
Yeah.
You're going to forget that people like that exist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, surely they're not trying to take over the world, or surely they're not trying to, there's no way that there's a big end game. And I said that myself. Why would that be? Mm-hmm. No, because we don't see ourselves doing that.
Yeah.
We don't see ourselves capable of that. So we miss it
sure.
that other people might be that
right.
way.
Right.
And it is a form of being naive mm-hmm. about, what we're capable of. Mm-hmm. And it's like, people who think they can't imagine rape and murder and all those things. But if you realize that, go back to your example, biblically, like King David,
mm-hmm.
Ends up having an affair with his best friend's wife while he's out at battle and then kills the dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he doesn't find out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and here's the guy who's like, written all, most of the Psalms and
yeah,
all this stuff, it's like, we're all capable. And that's one of the great things about, I think the literature of the Bible, if you look at it from a stories and things like that, is that it's not a bunch of perfect characters.
It's messy, extremely messy.
Very messy. And it's one of the things that people who don't understand Christianity,
that's right,
dismiss about it, but it's actually one of the beauties of it uh-huh. is how messy it is.
Absolutely. A lot of killing,
because it's real life.
Yeah. A lot of betrayal, a lot yeah. of, it's really there because it goes.
I don't think we talk about that enough in church.
No, either. We don't. Absolutely. David, you just said, David, a man after God's own heart. And we're yeah. thinking, what? Guy yeah. had, like you said, had dude killed, took his yeah. wife,
Yeah.
I mean, what? You're thinking, yeah. but
it's like yeah. that's like a episode of, your favorite soap opera. Just pick one, all of them, or your, yeah. any, crime show or anything right. else. Like it's just, so yeah, I think the whole kind of point of a lot of this is that if you're not aware that this can happen and if you don't believe that it can happen, you'll miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you won't believe that an end game could be just pure power.
Sure.
Yeah. And
well, and it's like
history, it proves that's exactly what it is. It's a power play.
And let's go back to the real quick. Let's go back to the Hegelian dialectic, which is again, like you said, first of all, you create the problem.
Yep.
The antithesis, you watch the reaction, you watch the fear that comes out of it. COVID-19, whatever your position, obviously people have a fear, panic, outrage, that's going on. You can look at all of the big topics, either right or left, that have been going on recently, whether it's systemic racism, there's another problem that's created.
Yep.
Then on the other side, there's critical race. What is this? You know, there's a problem. We got to fight that. You know, we got to fight all the, you know, the school. We don't know how prevalent that is. You know, it could be a problem. Who knows? But so everything, you know, out of everything, it's almost like you're fanning the flame to a problem.
Yeah, the thing is, like, the solution that some people are fighting. So let's take. I don't know what word is safe anymore, because I'm sure YouTube and Facebook knows all the slang terms for the vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, so let's just take. There's a virus. Let's say it's a real virus. None of us discount that. But let's say it was engineered or released or however you want to look at it, right? To create a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the solution might be that the people would clamor for is a cure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For that. So you throw that out there. Well, then one side is going to fight against that because now it's mandatory. But if that's not the end game, that would be what we would consider the antithesis.
Yeah.
When the real end game is the passports and the tracking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they can keep an eye on you around the clock, which I know sounds completely conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
To what end is that? Well, if you keep following it down the road, and this is where people are going to either tune out or be all in with us, we'll probably split our crowd on this episode.
That's right.
But if you look at how, for instance, China develop, how they control their economy, it's through social credit.
Yeah.
And if you can digitize someone's life, you can turn on their ability to do commerce. You can turn it off and on by behavior.
Sure.
So a lot of people think that's the end game, is to be able to turn that on and off and basically make you a slave to the system.
Well, that I think that happens here sometimes, you know.
I think it happens. I think that's absolutely what I've been saying for years. A lot of, and like when people bring up slavery, like, have you looked at most corporations? Like, and I know some people are like, that's not the same as slavery. Like, I understand you're not getting, like, there's a lot of differences and there's a lot of similarities to corporate living in a cubicle, working 40, 50, 60 hours. They get to choose when you can take breaks, when you can't take breaks. Like, there's a lot of similarities. It's not, I could say the emotion is some of the emotional abuses there, maybe not the physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you get a salary, you get those kind of things. So it's different. I totally get it. Send the hate mail to Jonathan, not to me, but like it's one thing, one of the videos that was in the report talked about, if you look throughout history, the most prosperous business model in the history of the world is slavery.
Yeah.
If you absolutely want to be a controlling power, the thing to do is to be a slave owner. Rome, like you can go back as far as you want, Babylonians, Persians, any continent, any time of throughout history, there have been slaves and the people in power had a slave organization working for them.
Sure.
And that feels really uncomfortable to say. And we don't like that, but that's where this usually ends up.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
And that's like people don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. And I didn't either. Like, I didn't want to go there either.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I was like, really? Do people would want that? Like, I don't want that. But
there are people that do. Security is a nice feeling to have for a lot of people, regardless of the consequences.
Yeah. So if you can control, you know, and one way to do that is, you know, you can digitize everything so that there can be no underground economy.
Yeah.
Because that's been the problem up to this point in history about slavery, is that people can escape it. Eventually, they can escape it and create an underground economy and do other things because, you know, it was harder to track. You could hide. You could do those things. If you can get everybody tracked digitally, nobody can hide.
Right. Right.
So it's crazy, but that's where we're at.
Yep.
So, And a big part of this is something else we alluded to at the top of the show, which was, you know, an old naval trick where if you're out on the sea, because all the ships look the same, you know, back in the day, right? They were all clipper ships. They all kind of looked the same. So they would fly the wrong flag.
Mm-hmm.
We would also call it a false flag, right? So they would fly that so they could get closer into battle.
Sure.
Before they started firing on the other ships.
Yeah.
So it's just a form of deception. So when you hear that term, a not true flag, like when you hear that term, that's what they're talking about. It's a way to kind of take your eyes off of what's really going on just long enough for the attack to happen.
Yeah.
And that's a classic military.
Deception is always part of war. Yeah.
Yeah. Sun Tzu, right?
Yeah. Sun Tzu, man. Absolutely. Make your enemy think something when, you know, you don't want them to know what's actually going on, obviously. I mean, that's just stating the obvious, but make them think he's superior when he's not, right? That's that's exactly the position you want to be in.
Yeah, I think that's where both sides need to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
When you think you're getting what you want, you may not be. So one thing Joe Rogan said, he's like, you know, he's like, I'm really confused. And Joe Rogan's pretty down the middle, I think, on a lot of
everything. Yeah.
So he's like, I'm really confused by the left, and they're doing all this censorship, and they want to do this censorship, especially when they were the voice of like freedom, you know, 30 years ago. But now they're into censorship. He's like, I don't understand how they can't see that when everything moves back far right, which it will eventually.
Yeah, it's a pendulum.
Censorship is going to flip.
Yep.
And the fact that people can't see that and they get caught up, he kept saying this over and over, like, people are more concerned about their side winning than they are about right and wrong.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a dangerous place to be. And that's on both sides. I don't care if you're on the right or left.
That's
We've got some people on the right that are definitely digging in the wrong places, I think, and going against the left when they should be going against the establishment.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because the whole goal is, you're exactly right. Your whole goal is to win instead of really realizing what's going on and what's happening.
Yeah. You're fighting the wrong enemy.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, it's like, what was a classic Bible story? Was it Daniel that they surrounded the camp with like 30 warriors surrounded the camp and then like lit fires and made lots of noise and then the camp killed each other?
Yeah.
You remember that story? Was that Daniel?
I don't think that was Daniel.
It was one of the D's.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But anyway, somebody could tell me who it is. But anyway, that kind of deception is what's going on, and it's divide and conquer. Like, let's get these people to fight against each other. Meanwhile, we'll be over here orchestrating this stuff over here.
Yeah.
You know, it's classic illusionist stuff. If you've ever been to an illusion show in Vegas or Branson or Gatlinburg, like David Copperfield type stuff, like, you know, it's not magic. You know, it's just sleight of hand and misdirection, but man, it's hard to figure out how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Until you were to go stand on the side of the stage and watch from the side of the stage, you could absolutely see everything they're doing.
Sure.
But from the audience, you can't tell.
Nope.
So the last thing was just kind of remind people of the fear response.
Mm-hmm.
So where was that? I don't remember what that was, but so basically, here's what happens when we fear. We kind of talked about this with JW on the last show, but when you are in a state of fear, literally a good 60-70% of your brain goes offline.
Sure.
And you literally cannot use the prefrontal cortex. You cannot use the reasoning, long-term thinking part of your brain when you're in a state of fear.
Nope.
So you think,
put yourself in this situation from a simple standpoint. Think of like just something simple in everyday life. Like, you get fired from a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the rational response is when you have a job is to say, you know what? It's not the end of the world. There's plenty of opportunity out there, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And then what happens if you get fired or something happens where your job is completely eliminated?
You just freak out.
Yeah. The fear kicks in and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know? So how did you go from, like being the guy that's like completely confident you were in the driver's seat in your career to all of a sudden something happens and you lose your job and all of a sudden you feel like, you see how that flips? I mean, it's just, it's so psychological.
Yeah. And there's a good reason for it. I mean, the reason for it is that energy, because your brain, a fully functioning brain, takes 30% of your body's calories and energy every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. So for the creative process, for long-term thinking, for all the things that goes on. Well, that energy needs to get redirected. If you're in a state of fear, you got to either fight or flight, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that energy gets redirected to, the blood flow literally gets redirected to muscles, you know, circulation of the blood, all that kind of stuff. And the problem is we're now living in a state of chronic fear. Like, you know, people always talk about the saber-toothed tiger and that kind of stuff, but that was like a once in a month event, maybe, you know, if you think back to, or even, you know, you go back a couple hundred years, a big fear-inducing event might happen once a week or something like that. Now we've got this chronic fear 24/7.
Absolutely. What's going to happen next?
Our bodies can never quite recover and we're never quite using all of our brain unless we're doing some very intentional things to reduce fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes us more susceptible to all this stuff we're talking about.
Sure.
And just like you just said, we can be very logical about it on this show or listening to the show. You can be like, I could never fall for that. Mm-hmm. Until you start getting scared in different areas. You start wondering, like, you know, you start getting agitated, which is just a form of fear, you know, then all of a sudden like, you're not thinking critically.
Picture it. You're flying in the, comfortably up in the sky in the airplane. All of a sudden, there's a hole that just blows out in the side of the plane and it's sucking all the air out. And you're like, all of a sudden the panic just drops down, you know, the mass drop down and you're totally, everything in your whole world changes. Right. You know,
right.
That article you were reading on the plane, totally. You forget that's not even important.
I mean, when they're doing the safety briefing, right. You're like, the exit's
whatever.
I know where the exit is, but when all of a sudden the plane's crashed, would you even remember where the exit is?
No.
You know,
if
you're not trained, and if you haven't trained yourself,
that's right.
And that's one thing exercise is great for. It trains your body to be able to perform during stress. It's like if you do CrossFit or any other hard exercise and you get that, like if you're really doing a hard workout, we used to call it wad drunk. Cause you're like walking around the box and you're like kind of half there.
Yeah.
Because you've put so much energy into your muscles and your blood that like literally your brain is not fully functioning.
Yeah.
And until you train for that, and that's why special forces and military, that's why they train for these situations so that you can learn to still think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, did you go to Ranger school?
No.
Okay. So you just did the long, recon stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they do in Ranger school, right? They push you to your physical limits and then ask you to do math.
Yeah.
Like crazy stuff. Like,
that's right.
You know, and people can't do it. Like it's just, your brain is shut off either from.
Absolutely. You
know, and we're already a sleep deprived society.
Mm-hmm.
We're overweight. You know, we've got chronic stress about work and about the changing jobs. We've got notifications pinging us nonstop. Like all these things are just make us more susceptible to all of these classic tools that people have used throughout history. It's just now they work even better and even faster.
Sure. Yeah.
So you've really got to be on the lookout because you're always being persuaded by somebody.
No doubt.
So
I'm curious, what is, cause you mentioned at the beginning of the show, what are some of his, recommendations you know,
yeah,
in terms of, because I haven't gotten that far in reading. I think I've gotten to like number three or section three. Yep. And
yeah, so some of this stuff, a lot of our entrepreneur, solopreneur listeners, a lot of them know a lot of this stuff. I think it's just a good reminder. But, you know, and I think a lot of people who are successful will echo some of these things. Mm-hmm. One is, so this is going to be, there's two different areas here. There's really just kind of good life practices. And I think then there's other specific to what's going on now. Mm-hmm. So one thing he talks about is stop banking at big national banks that are funding a lot of the politicians' campaigns, a lot of the, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Try to go back to, and this is hard to do, right? Because we're both Amazon, everybody loves Amazon. It's so easy. But, you know, try to go back to using local establishments as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, avoid national supermarkets, go to local supermarkets. There's certain tech platforms who are not as friendly as others, you know, figure out which ones could you substitute, right? Yep. So get away from, you know, Marky Z and the Facebook bunch and go to, you know, whatever else you might want to use.
By the way, we're going to, Rumble has just recently launched a live platform. So I'm hoping that, you know, StreamYard will be able to incorporate that. I know they stopped, obviously, Periscope, you know, Twitter no longer does Periscope. So I think they might be, hopefully they might be incorporating Rumble here shortly.
Cool.
That we can have a Rumble channel.
Rumble.
Like
I've never used Rumble. I have to get an account.
Yeah.
So another one is to stop listening to mainstream news.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be just a good idea anyway. And again, either side, like, mm-hmm. you know, I guess, yeah, I mean, it's both.
Yeah.
News has pretty much become propaganda at this point on both sides.
It really has. I mean, if you,
it's entertainment. I mean, we've said that before, like, Fox News has become an entertainment channel, just like everything else. It's an
opinion. Yeah, it's all opinion.
It's all opinion. Absolutely.
CNN's opinion, Fox News's opinion, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, all of the news sites are opinion based. I mean, you know, I used to love going to Drudge just for the headlines, and Drudge has kind of changed over the years. They're not the same that they used to be. Yeah. They're kind of, I think they used to be more. Probably more right leaning, and now it's kind of it feels like more middle of the road now, right? Mm-hmm. So,
that's probably to appease whatever advertisers are
absolutely
spending the most money,
right?
You know, got to get that demographic, and that's a lot of this happens. That's mm-hmm. that's what corrupts is a lot of times the money.
The money, follow the money, man. That's one thing my father-in-law always said. You know, he's an accountant, and everything that he attributes in the world, that's one of his taglines is follow the money, right?
So, and it doesn't mean the money is bad, right. But it definitely has a lot of power if you're mm-hmm. not fully aware of it and you're not taking care of your mental health around it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not here to say money's bad. I think it's a very valuable tool.
Yeah. But people can be corrupted easily.
I mean, very easily.
Yeah, so that's what we were talking about earlier. You know, we're all susceptible.
And you see it throughout history, and you see it in every country in the world. Like, it's not a new thing.
Yeah.
And then allowing the full tracking and aggregation of your data.
Mm.
So, you know, slow down some of the tracking when it asks. But another thing would be to use something like CyberGhost or those types of browsers that don't track you.
Right.
Things like that is what he's talking about. So those are some things that are just more like real in the world stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the other things are like, just start becoming more self-sufficient.
Mm.
Yeah. And even, you know, as crazy as this sounds, there's some truth to preppers.
Yeah.
I don't know if you need 2 years in a bomb shelter buried in the middle of the Appalachians.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you have the time and the money to do that, it certainly wouldn't hurt. But even having, I mean, we saw this here in Texas this winter, right? Having a week's worth of food on hand that you can eat without having to cook it.
Absolutely.
I mean, there were people that literally were, couldn't get to stores, couldn't get out of their house, didn't have heat.
Having a generator, that certainly helped, right?
Having a generator, having solar, you know, solar has come down in price, and there's, you know, for a lot of parts of the country, there's no reason you couldn't have solar. You know, learning to can, learning to hunt, or have a friend that hunts that you can maybe do something else for them, and they can give you, you know, part of their catch, those kinds of things. Because, you know, I mean, if you really wanted to, like I said, we've seen it happen here in Texas for a week with the power grid went down for almost a week. If you couldn't go shopping, or, you know, the truckers go on strike, and maybe they go on strike for the right reasons.
Right.
But if the truckers go on, I mean, most people don't realize that there's less than 36 hours of food in the average grocery store. Mm-hmm. And the bigger the city, the less there is.
Sure.
Like there's probably 12 to 14 hours of food on the shelves.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, if you ever been to a, you know, a 24 hour market in the middle of the night, you see the aisles are full of pallets where they're restocking the shelves.
Yep.
And that truck comes in every night, every night. Yep. And if it misses two nights, three nights, there's the shelves are almost picked clean.
That's right.
So if you don't have, you know, some meals that, you know, canned goods, I don't care if it's SpaghettiOs, like have a week of SpaghettiOs for everybody in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't have to be, you know, full blown MREs or, you know,
no, canned
actual rations or anything like that.
Freeze dried.
Twinkies, man. Twinkies last forever. Get some Twinkies. Yeah, but the average home has less than a week of food on hand, and a lot of that is perishable.
Yeah.
So you want, you know, some less perishable food. Like you said, a backup generator. You know, and he's, because in civil rest, all these kinds of things, all this stuff can change on a dime, right?
Absolutely.
Water, all these things.
Yeah.
You know, learn some basic survival skills. Mm-hmm. Even if you're staying at your house, you know, if you live within, a lot of us live in the suburbs, so you could get out and forage if you really had to.
Yeah.
But you got to know what to do and what to look for.
Yep. Exactly. You know?
So just those kinds of things, educate yourself on what you see, like really try to, the side effect of using like one of the browsers that don't track you is you actually get better information when you do internet searches, because you're not going to be, retargeted down to the same type of stuff you're looking at. And, in fact, a lot of guys I know that do copywriting, they'll use those just so they can get better, sometimes you want to go down a road and when you're researching copy, and sometimes you want to see both sides of an argument so that you can overcome it in your copy. So those are some of the things, think about how you're going to preserve your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you pay off your home? Do you have some land?
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, if you've got three or four brothers and sisters, could you all go together and buy a piece of land somewhere that's a day's drive away if you really had to? And these are kind of, they sound crazy, but at the same time, you had a little nice vacation spot. If nothing happens, if something does happen, you've got a place to go.
Yeah.
Go. So
10 years, it's amazing what time will do, because 10 years ago, this would have sounded like cuckoo. Right.
Yeah. And to some people, it still does.
Mm-hmm. It does. But it's less, you know,
it's far less now.
And I think it will continue to be that way where, you know, conspiracy people, whatever you want to say, like preppers, like you said, you know, preppers. I've used to live, in fact, my office, you know, is right next to a, this is out in the county. Sean, you've been up here to my office. There's a guy that lives up in the top of the cul-de-sac right next to my office that's a prepper. And he owns like the 50 acres of land behind my office.
Yeah.
Great guy. And, you know, he lets me hunt on the land. He said, you can hunt anytime you want to. I put you know, a couple of deer stands back there. He said, you know, as long as you bring me some meat, if you, you know, share some of it.
Yeah.
And, but super guy, you know, he's probably a little further out there than I, you know, than I would ever, be, but super nice guy, but he is completely, you know, he's prepper, but I mean, totally prepared though. I mean,
yeah. And one thing I would add that I know you do is you need to be able to walk with a load.
Mm-hmm.
Like I ruck, you know, and I'm sure. I'm up to like 45 pounds, 5 miles for 45 pounds. I know you hike mm-hmm. with a pack.
Yep.
But that is a skill that I think most people think they could walk. Mm-hmm. If they had to walk all day, they could.
Yeah.
It ain't that easy.
No, it's not.
Like walking is for long distance for hours
sure.
is much harder than people give it credit for. How Absolutely. Quickly you can get blisters. Mm-hmm. Which then make you basically immobile is shocking. Yeah. Like, you know, when I did a couple of years ago, I did that ruck out in Seattle. It was 60 mm-hmm. miles in 20 hours. You know, I think we started with 85 people and only 30 finished. And the number one reason was blisters and
oh, yeah.
knee problems and other stuff.
Yep.
And there is no way to prepare for that other than to go out and walk.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to get time on feet, as we used to say in the military. It's like,
and even if you have time on your feet, you get blisters. Like, I mean, we get like what packets of moleskin, what we call it, moleskin, you know, just slap that stuff on.
Yeah. But the more you do it, the less,
exactly.
Less like the longer it takes to get that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, being able to walk with the load, I think is an underutilized skill in this country. And that's actually the star course with GORUCK. That's mm-hmm. what it's based on is I think, both Roosevelt and Kennedy issued like every man should be able to walk 50 miles
mm-hmm.
in 24 hours.
Sure.
And I would bet the most majority people. Of our population cannot do that.
Oh, that's an easy one right there. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's, and it's probably not going to be in the best weather either when you have to do it.
No,
you know, if things ever get that bad. So, right. So I know this has been a little bit of a diversion, but I think it fits in with,
You know,
if we're all about persuasion, we need to understand it's not just about persuading. It's also about being persuaded.
Mm,
and that's kind of where,
so true.
Where this episode's gone. So, and I think a lot of our listeners are savvy enough to know about this, some of this stuff, but it's still easy to get caught up in it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Key takeaway. I would say if you've, go back and, you know, like we talked about the Hegelian dialectic, yeah. Understand that and just think about that. And then once you learn that, you know, just apply it to what you've seen in, you know, throughout, you know, the last 10 years or so, even beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And think about, you know, how that's being used to coerce, you know, people to, you know, do things that, you know, typically they wouldn't do.
And you could even say something like, and I don't know if it's true, but let me give you just one more example as we go. That's not as charged. Right. So, mm-hmm. Let's say I want to get a lot of people to owe me money.
Sure.
Right. So they're paying me interest. Right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what might I do? Well, I could encourage people to take out loans to pay for their
mm-hmm.
college education. So how would I do that? Well, right. I would incentivize universities to raise their rates and let me finance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The, you know, you raise tuition, whatever you need to raise it, we'll cover it. We'll guarantee the loan.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give the people we'll give the students an out, a way to fund college.
Right.
Right. So you put out this problem that college is getting expensive. The government comes in and saves the day. We'll back your guarantee your loans.
Yeah.
Right. So this sounds like the solution, but the real end game is, hey, now we have you for life as a debtor.
Yep. Exactly.
And you cannot erase the debt.
Nope. Can't get rid of
bankruptcy.
It.
Even in bankruptcy.
It's with you for the rest of your life until it's paid off. So there's no getting out of that one.
So So like, where else have we seen it? That's the kind of questions you can start asking. Then you'll start, if you start playing that game, mm-hmm. like, could this be, like, even if it's not, at least you'll train your brain to start looking for it.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right.
All right. Well, good stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to digest.
We just dropped a bunch on people right there.
But that's good. We don't want to sugarcoat things, you know. Yeah. You got to think about these things sometimes. I think we can, Sean, could we post a link to that that report?
I don't know if we can post a link. I think
where they can access it. No.
He said don't put it on social media. I guess it's on our website, but
okay. Would our website be considered social media?
Probably not.
Okay.
Well, we do need to put a disclaimer not to share it on social media.
Okay. Yeah, we won't share it on social media, but we'll share it here on a podcast.
Yeah.
It's called The Worldwide Shadow.
Yeah. So, and the reason is not that it's incorrect or anything, is that this is the type of stuff that tends to get shut down and deleted off the internet.
Yep, easily.
So we have to be careful about where it's shared for sure. So,
absolutely.
Keep that in mind.
Well, I got to say, I did tap into my little reservoir.
I saw that.
Of a tin cup, and it is very smooth.
Nice.
So let me see if I can. I want to give them some credit since I'm having a little. But I've had the little label somewhere around here, but I think I must have dropped it. Let's see. So let me give them props on here. It's really smooth. It's called Tin Cup American Whiskey. And have you ever had this, Sean?
I have not.
I don't even know because they don't put it on their bottle, which is kind of unusual. Let's see. Here we go. Tin Cup Whiskey. You can find them over at tincupwhiskey.com.
Easy enough. Tin is in T-I-N, right?
Yep.
Because it comes with a little tin cup.
That's right.
Which is probably actually aluminum, not tin, because I don't know.
I think you're right.
Tin is a thing anymore.
Says Tin Cup is a classic American whiskey. It has a bourbon-style profile with a bold, spicy finish. It's a cut to proof with what we believe is the best water in the world directly from the Rockies. You can go read about it. I'll post a link, but it is, let's see, I'm trying to get to what the percentage of alcohol.
It's probably 45% probably, 25 to
45,
probably somewhere in.
So I think it's
proof.
I think it's 90. Yeah, it's 90 proof.
Or 40. Yeah, so 45%.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, hey, here's some trivia as we head out, right? Because I was thinking like tin cup versus aluminum. Is there a difference?
Tin versus aluminum.
Yeah. You're in the composites world. Let's see how good you're.
Well, composites, that's not metal.
I know, but it's chemistry stuff.
Let's see, tin versus aluminum. So
it's a good bar trivia right here.
Aluminum, so let's see. So I'm thinking that it's aluminum, but it's something added to aluminum to make the tin. Is that right?
That is incorrect.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Tin is rarely found on Earth as it is the 49th most abundant metal, whereas aluminum is the third most abundant metal.
Okay.
And the ninth most abundant metal element on Earth, found almost everywhere. Aluminum. So atomic number of tin is 50 and aluminum 13. So tin is much older, but it's much more scarce apparently. So there you go.
Well, I think unless they're lying, this is nothing but propaganda, this is a tin cup.
Which is funny because it says tin is cheaper than aluminum. But aluminum is replacing tin. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Aluminum is stronger. That's why.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I can vouch for that because a lot of die casters in the engine parts industry, they make, they use aluminum parts for your engines. So it's pretty strong and it's lightweight. That's the other reason. Lightweight, but strong. So,
yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. There's your trivia for the day.
There's your trivia.
10 versus aluminum.
Well, thanks guys for listening. Sean, we'll break this into two episodes. Yeah, it's been interesting. It's been an interesting dive into propaganda. We'll have to revisit some of this in some future episodes, but hope everyone has a great weekend coming up. Again, you can find us on all of your podcast platforms, Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Spotify. You can also find us at persuasionbythepint.com. And you can find us on our YouTube channel at persuasionbythepint.com. You can see Sean's fancy looking new setup. Guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
That's awesome. You got to send me a link to that.